Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, gather around the radio. It's time now for another installment of A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. My name is Michael Harrison. It's my privilege to serve as anchor of the program. It's an ensemble show with lots of great people involved. The host of the program is its founder and guiding light, Carol Marks. Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues, and she's a champion in the battle against ageism. Later in the program, she'll be speaking with Phyllis Green, a veteran producer, network sales manager, and advertising executive who's written a fascinating new book titled Fired at 50, A Survivor's Guide to Prosperity. It's published by Terramar Media Incorporated. And our senior correspondent, Steve Wiseman, will be joining us to discuss Medicare open enrollment. From Talkers Magazine, the editor, Kevin Casey, joins us, and he'll be talking about discussion this week on talk radio about Ebola. But now let's jump right into the program. I recently had the opportunity to speak with one of the most prolific and beloved musicians of this era. He's received 10 Grammy Awards and a National Endowment for the Arts Jazz Master Award, and he's going to talk about his new book. Here is the world premiere of the conversation that I had with the legendary George Benson. I'm on the line with one of the legends of music, a gentleman who for decades and decades has been creating sounds and making people feel their own emotions through these sounds and carving his own path in the music industry and still going strong. His name is George Benson. And George, it is my pleasure to welcome you to our program.
Wow, the pleasure's mine. Thanks for having me on.
Now, you've written a new book, and it is an autobiography. You wrote it with Alan Goldshire. It's called George Benson, Benson. And it even has a foreword by Bill Cosby. It's published by DeCapo Press, and it's a book that I have been getting into. I should be finished with it soon, but I got to tell everybody, if you're interested in a man with a very interesting life, let alone lots of music history and lots of social history, this is the book for you. What happened that led you at this point in your life to write an autobiography, George?
Well, you know, a few years ago, I should say several years ago, I was talking to a person who was asking me questions about my life, and he said, how come you don't have any of this stuff down? You know, you should put this stuff down. This is very interesting. So I started putting it down. That was 13 years ago. That's how fast time goes by. But I had enough in my collection of thoughts to put together an interesting book.
No question about it. So so you, like so many people, you're so busy living life, there's not enough time to tell the story because you're still living it.
Good way to put it.
And you still are living it. You still tour regularly, and you still work regularly in terms of playing music, creating music, and performing it. Am I correct?
That is exactly correct. You know, for many years, I've been saying, well, you know, this looks like about my time to duff out, you know, to move on the outside and rest a bit, you know. But every time I tried that, I'd get calls from all over the world, and they were, you know, just people clamoring to hear our band, you know. Mm. So the music was still having effect. I said, well, as long as I can deliver a decent show, and I'm ready to go because I practice every day, you know, so I get a chance to exercise the things I practice.
I was going to ask you that. At this point in your career, you've accomplished so much. I mean, you've won so many awards. I mean, it's amazing the honors that you have received, and certainly deservedly so. What is it musically at this point that challenges you? Is it keeping up with your skills, or do you still try to break new ground? Do you get nervous before you get on stage before a new audience? How does it feel at this point?
All of those are good questions. That last one about nervousness, that only happened to me for 5 seconds. Many years ago, I played in Brazil at an event called Rock in Rio, meaning rock and roll in Rio de Janeiro. But we had 350,000 people, so I walked out on the stage, and I had never seen 350,000 people at one time. Mm. So for 5 seconds, it was some butterflies. I know what people are talking about when they say butterflies now, but I never had them before or since then.
That's a good thing to experience.
When you were talking about what inspires me at this time, it's people. They always did. You know, their thoughts are pretty much the same, and they're being renewed by young audience. You know, they come along, they want to know what's up, you know, who did this and why are you doing that? So mm-hmm. I'm ready to answer those questions because I got a lot of answers, you know. Not all of them, but I got a lot of them.
Well, hopefully none of us will ever have all the answers because that's what keeps life interesting. I find as I get older, I know less than I knew when I thought I knew it all. So we all go through that. But, you know, your music, and I follow music. I've been a fan of music. I've been in radio for 48 years. So I'm of your generation. I follow music, and music tends to be categorized. Radio stations tend to be really formatted tightly. There are so many different music charts now for every genre of music. And yet your music is extremely unique and original in terms of that categorization. You're a soul artist. You're a jazz artist. I've seen you described as the first real soul-jazz crossover. The state of jazz is always in question, let alone the definition of it. Do you find that the kind of music you play is sort of out there on its own in an eclectic world where you never can be quite sure who's going to come to your concerts and what they're like?
There is a fear that you can confuse people. I've seen artists do that. They're so versatile and good at what they do, they change up, you know, just to bring some freshness to their show.
Mm-hmm.
But then people don't know what it is they're going to hear when they come to the show. So, you know, they might say, well, I don't like this. I like this, but I don't like that. And, you know, you don't want that to happen. So you let people know that you're bringing your whole arsenal with you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Unless there's something you're highlighting, then you have to highlight it very well. Like when I do the Nat King Cole show, I have to really pronounce that. The Nat King Cole show, you know, plus my hits, which always happens on every show at the very end. But other shows, I have one called Guitar Man. So for the people who love guitar, they like coming to that because they know they're going to hear more guitar, but not all guitar. So, you know, you have to be careful at how you do that.
Well, that's pretty sophisticated. I didn't realize you did that. So you have these different repertoires that you put under a different banner. Like I didn't know you did a Nat King Cole show. I'm happy to run into anybody who remembers Nat King Cole and a guitar show. And then I would imagine that you then play some of your big hits because you have so much music that to know you only by your big hits is to know the tip of a big iceberg. But This Masquerade on Broadway, Turn Your Love Around, Give Me the Night, these songs, you play them at most of your concerts?
At every concert.
Got
because,
it.
You know, if you don't, there's always someone in the audience who came just for that. And although, like you said, many people don't know or remember how great Nat King Cole was, some just never experienced him. So those wonderful arrangements that he had, you know, Nelson Riddle and many others who were the best of that time, they deserve to get another hearing. And that's why I did the CD called Nat Cole. But, you know, it's an experiment. It's an ongoing experiment. And you have to be very careful and learn from your mistakes because every now and then you might make a mistake, but you have to make it pay. You know, you have to learn from it.
You're listening to a conversation I recently had with George Benson. We're talking about his book, Benson, the Autobiography, published by DeCapo Press. And we will continue this conversation with George Benson. We're going to talk about how special the old days were in terms of music and how today, well, there's far less interest, it seems, in the history of music and how he feels about that. All that's coming up next when A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups, continues in a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security web pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
A domain name is your key to doing business around the world, right from your office, living room, or even your couch. And finding the right name is as easy as a domain name search at hostingforcheap.com. Just enter the domain you want in the search box and we'll give you the results, along with similar domains you may not have considered. Most people looking for goods or services start on the web. Unfortunately, many small businesses can't afford to pay someone else to build their website. That's where hostingforcheap.com comes in. We can show you how to create a website for yourself, because hostingforcheap.com isn't just about domain names. It's a one-stop shop for anything you need to get online, from building your own website to attracting new customers to securing their data when they make a purchase. Hostingforcheap.com has you covered from the moment you decide you want to put your business on the web. That's hostingforcheap.com. Hostingforcheap.com. Hostingforcheap.com.
Continuing now with A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison, the anchor chair. And let's get back to a two-part interview that I recently conducted with musician, jazz guitarist extraordinaire, excellent singer, and an all-around bright, nice guy, George Benson. He's written a book, Benson, the Autobiography, published by DeCapo Press. One of the things that worries me today, and I don't know, maybe it's just a process of getting older, is that I find, and I don't want to sound like a, you know, an old guy complaining about the kids, because we always run into that, but the old days were pretty special in terms of modern music, our roots. And I sometimes get frustrated at today's radio and today's pop music, which seems to me, and I don't know if you see it this way, but it seems to me that there is far less interest in history today than there was when I was growing up, and perhaps when you were. And I think it's really important, especially in the arts, that the younger generation learn about things that happened, quote-unquote, before their time, so that they can have a better appreciation of these things. Do you think that these times are a little different in that regard, or is it just my getting older and I think it's that way?
Well, there's a lot more of us on this planet than there were a few years ago, and there's a lot more ways of collecting information. Before, you know, if you had a CD, that's 20 years ago, 30 years ago maybe, 40 years ago, 45 might have been, you know, adequate. And before that, you know, the 33 LPs and so forth and so on. But the information network is so fast and so vast around the whole planet. Until one bit of information can go around this planet in a very, very short period of time. You know, so you have to be careful of what you're doing and how you're presenting it. But if you hit the right notes at the right time, it's like being a piano player, you know, hitting the notes. Everybody will get the message and they will show up at your concerts. Fortunately for us, we've had gobs of just sold out shows everywhere on this planet.
And people of all ages, do you find that you appeal to a variety of age groups and kinds of folks?
You know, my shows, I think it has more variety of people, age groups, than any show I've ever been. Because people bring their kids, grandkids to my show. You know, they're under 5 years old, and they're down front with their parents. And then the teenagers start about 12, 14. They never sit down. They're dancing all night in the front, you know, early part of the theater. And the older people are sitting, you know, somewhere up in the back, because they don't like noise. You know, their pressure level, sound pressure level, is much less tolerant than the kids are.
How interesting.
So that's the craft that I've learned over the many years I've been on the road, how to craft it so that everyone in that theater can enjoy a portion of the concert.
Well, you're
and
a master.
And pretty soon they all come together at the end and show their appreciation. You know, they're all standing and screaming and hollering, the younger ones and the older ones. And that is really an art to make that happen.
Wow, it's a pleasure hearing you, because I had no idea what talking to you would be like. The awareness you have and the thought that you put into the art of performance and the relationship with audiences is just wonderful to listen to. You go back to Pittsburgh. That's where you started, right, in your early days as a kid? You come from Pittsburgh?
Yeah, Pittsburgh is an incredible town, you know. It was known for steel. And had a bad reputation for bad air years ago. All that has been cleaned up. But the part that people missed, I think, for the most part, is the great musicianship that came out of Pittsburgh with the great bass player, Ray Brown, the great drummer, you know, Art Blakey, and then we had Lena Horne and from Perry Como to just all kinds of wonderful artists that came along and made their name, Billy Eckstein being another giant out of Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. Earl Garner, who wrote Misty, and, you know, just so many. When I was a kid, they all saw me on the street corners when I was 7 years old with my ukulele. It's explained in my book.
Yeah.
It goes into detail. I hope everyone gets a chance to look at it because there's something in the book for everybody.
No question about it. And you were, I guess they call that a busker today, playing on the street and getting some money for it. And
Oh, yeah. At 7 years old,
wow.
I found out how to get spending money so I can buy ice cream and crazy things. But actually, I made more money than that. My mother found out I was making all that money. She said, "What? Where did you get this money?" She thought I had maybe robbed somebody.
Wow.
She found out that I was making this money. I was making twice as much per night as she was making in 2 weeks working on her job.
So you were successful.
Yeah.
So you were a star even before you were a star. Did was there something inside of you, George, when you were a little kid that you said to yourself, I can do this. I'm good at this. I mean, for a seven-year-old kid to pick up a ukulele of all instruments, that's about as far from a soul jazz instrument I could possibly think of, and play and make money. Did you know you were good?
People kept saying that to me, you know, but I had heard it so many times till it just went one ear and out the other. When I was a kid, you know, all kids are cute, you know, I don't care what they do, you know, tap dance or act or play an instrument of some kind. But my mother sang to me all the time, and she sang all the significant stuff, you know, the stuff that was well arranged, that came out of movies. They were soundtracks from movies, and she planted that stuff into my head, and it was with me all the time. So when I started playing either the violin at first and then the piano second, and when I got to the uke, it was much easier because I could carry it with me. You know, as that stuff started coming out, I found out that the uke could be the other part, you know, the musical part that I was hearing in my head, but I couldn't do all of that with my mouth. So it was a great partner.
You were influenced by a lot of the same people I was, only as a listener. I wish I had musical talent. I have none, but I sure know good music when I hear it, and that's kind of nice. But in reading your book, I see names like The Platters and Frankie Lyman. Oh, my gosh. When I first heard Frankie Lyman, I thought I heard the heavens open up. I mean,
that's true.
I mean, the first time I heard Why Do Fools Fall in Love, I might be a couple of years younger than you, but we're basically the same generation. But when that song came out, sometimes it's hard, but you try to remember how it sounded when you first heard it as a kid, and it's almost indescribable. You were pretty blown away by all that stuff as well, weren't you?
Most definitely. Frankie Lyman's voice was a very unique and a very special voice. I would even rate him above Michael Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And he had the potential to be the first Michael Jackson.
Yes.
His voice was actually better, but his ability to please an audience, he was a real showman from his heart. You know, when he stepped on the stage, he demanded attention, and he always went above what you expected of him. But like you said, he was like listening to an angel sing.
Yeah, yeah. And you have all this in the book. You have all your influences. Again, I'm not going to take you down a path to tell us the story of the book, because that's in the book, and why would I ruin it for people? But I will say that you're an international man. You've gone from the streets of Pittsburgh playing a ukulele for money to filling concert halls all around the world, five decades, numerous awards, the highest honors in jazz, the highest honors in the recording industry. As we conclude, what is your impression of the world today? I mean, you're a man who has experienced everything from the racial tensions in South Africa to the situations we face socially and economically and musically, artistically in our own country. Give us a little bit of the philosophy of George Benson as a man of the world at this point in your career.
All those questions, the things that you just brought up, have always been with me, and I've always searched for the answers. I find that I'm most satisfied when I look to the scriptures. I'm a Bible man. I study the Bible a lot, and I also conduct Bible studies. So I still think that the solution, the only solution to mankind's problems is through the Creator. He's not going to allow this planet to go. He said, I didn't create it for nothing. I created it to be inhabited. So I have confidence in that, and I live with that every day. And when I see tensions, like you said, I'm a world traveler. I see the world as a whole. I don't see portions of. I understand the portions because they're all different in many respects. But as a whole, mankind is one big family that is disjointed. You know, I see that. And I find this, though, everywhere I go, if I put out a good vibe, I usually get it back. So I try to stay away from controversial issues that cause tensions that can blossom out of control. And I find that works for me.
Wow, beautiful message. And, of course, we all agree that music is a universal God-given language that supersedes the differences. And you are blessed to have that skill, and certainly we are all grateful to you for continuing to exercise it long after you really need to. Obviously, with you, it's a labor of love and a calling, and we are all the beneficiaries of it. I recommend this book highly, Benson, George Benson with Alan Golcher. It's an autobiography, forward by Bill Cosby, which is a wonderful read unto itself, published by DeCapo Press. George Benson, it has been my pleasure speaking with you.
Yeah, the pleasure is mine, man. Call me again.
And we most certainly will. What a gentleman. What an absolutely distinguished, bright, talented man. It was a pleasure. George Benson on A Touch of Gray. I'm Michael Harrison, and coming up next, we're going to be joined by our senior correspondent, Kevin Casey, who is the vice president and executive editor of the trade publication Talkers, Talkers Magazine, which serves the talk radio industry. We're going to talk a little bit about the discussion this week on talk radio, what people are saying and what different angles they're approaching the Ebola the scare about Ebola, which is in the news, and it's one of the biggest topics on the radio this past week, according to Talkers Magazine. And also, Carol Marx will be joining us in conversation with Phyllis Green, who's written a book, Fired at 50, A Survivor's Guide to Prosperity. And that is certainly interesting indeed. Steve Wiseman will be talking about Medicare open enrollment. So we got a lot of information and interesting discussion coming your way on A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, which continues right here on this great talk radio station in just a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security websites. Pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
This is a Driving Today Minute. Even though high gasoline prices have moderated somewhat, they're still quite high. It just makes good sense to do what you can do to reduce your fuel costs. The Alliance to Save Energy suggests a few easy things you can do.
Keep your car properly tuned up and change the air filter regularly, both to save gas and protect your engine. Curtail aggressive driving, according to the U.S. Department of Energy. Speeding, rapid acceleration, and hard braking waste gas and curb mileage by as much as 33% at highway speeds.
So nix the jackrabbit starts and opt instead for slow acceleration from a dead stop. Slow down. The DOE says each mile per hour you drive over 60 is like paying an extra 10 cents per gallon. Inflate tires to the proper pressure. This will increase fuel economy and make tires safer and extend their life.
This Driving Today Minute is brought to you by Bridgestone Firestone Tires. You can get more information like this at drivingtoday.com or by visiting our partners such as autobytel.com, motorsportsforum.com, and more.
You're listening to A Touch of Gray. Check out our website at atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E. That's atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to godirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation's struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
If you plan to apply for Social Security disability benefits, there are things you can do to help speed up the usual 3 to 5 month wait for a decision. The more information you provide up front, the less time it'll take us to obtain the needed evidence, and the faster the decision can be made. Information like medical records or documentation, the names, addresses, and phone numbers of your doctors and medical facilities, information on your past employment, and more. To be prepared, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/disability and select Disability Starter Kits.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we're joined at this point in the program each week by the vice president and executive editor of the trade magazine Talkers, the publication that serves the talk radio industry from the inside. It's read by talk radio professionals, and we give you a little peek behind the curtain. Kevin Casey's also one of our senior correspondents on the program, so he has a couple of feathers in his multi-plumed cap, and in talk radio, you really have to have more than a couple of feathers, because talk radio deals with many topics. And obviously, the Ebola panic, the fear of a pandemic, the story that seems to spread, no pun intended, is at the top of the list of topics being talked about on talk radio, at least at this moment. It's taking in a lot of subjects, isn't it, Kevin?
It really is. There are, in addition to the obvious one you stated, which is the threat of a pandemic, the fear that this is going to spread globally, you have issues of now cases in the United States. You have a hospital worker who became contaminated with the virus, and you have people who go to hospitals all the time, especially upper demographic listeners who may themselves visit hospitals frequently, have relatives there, et cetera, and there's always that fear of that this is going to increase. So it's starting starting to, in the minds of a lot of Americans, become a little less like something that's only happening in Africa and has the threat of doing something else.
Don't you find as a person in the media that you have to walk the line, the balance between giving this subject its due and warning the public of something that could be a terrible threat, or, on the other hand, overdoing it, sensationalizing, and spreading fear when it may not be necessary?
It's a real touchy issue with talk radio, or with any broadcast, really, because broadcasters aren't doctors. There are a lot of conflicting medical experts who some are saying that you're going to see as many as 4,000 new cases a day in Africa, and there are others who are saying that, no, we have it pretty much under control. Who do you believe? What do you say on the radio? And how do you do what you said, to talk about it without doing anything crazy?
And we have about 20 seconds for your answer. Certainly, talk radio, news talk radio, has the tendency to make everything political. That's already happening, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. They're already critical of the CDC and the director of the CDC, and I think we're going to see that only ramp up as questions continue.
Right. Okay. Well, certainly, let's hope that this turns out to be something that is hardly as serious as the way the threat appears at this point. Kevin Casey is the vice president and executive editor of Talkers Magazine. You can visit Talkers at talkers.com. Insider's view of what's happening in the talk radio world, radio stations such as this great one you're listening to now. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and much more, A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, coming your way in just a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and here now is the host of our program, the star of the show, Carol Marks, in conversation with Phyllis Green. Phyllis Green is a veteran producer, network sales manager, and advertising executive who's written a fascinating new book titled Fired at 50, A Survivor's Guide to Prosperity, published by Terramar Media.
Now, I wanted to just take a quick look at your amazing career. It led you to become a veteran producer and network sales manager and advertising executive, and you started out your career working at a little station in Trenton, New Jersey. Then you were a weekend weather girl in Miami. Then you got a job as a producer for an ABC affiliate in Indianapolis. And then a very funny thing happened, looking back on it, on your first day at work, because you were looking for your office and you asked an employee where it was.
Oh, my God, yes. Yes, I was the new girl at the new TV station and, you know, very excited and very nervous. And so naturally I asked the first person in the building if they knew where my office was. And he looked down and he said, little girl, do I look like a traffic cop? And, oh, my God, I was mortified. It turned out it was Dave Letterman. David was a weekend booth announcer. In those early days, he was in his 20s. And he was as funny and also as arrogant as he grew in future years. But it certainly was very intimidating and mortifying.
And memorable. Now, you eventually, as a result of your ability to get advertisers who had never advertised on TV to do that, because I had forgotten that there was a time when that was a brand new thing, you became a top business executive at ABC's network flag station in New York. So you must have had some amazing qualities, because how did you convince owners of companies that a 30-second commercial could convince viewers to buy their product on the strange new thing, TV?
Well, it's interesting. If we look back 30 years, which seems like a long time, but advertisers like the big guns, Macy's, Bloomingdale's in New York, other large companies, their security blanket were newspapers like the Daily News, New York Times. They could touch their ads, they could see them. And here I was talking to them about television, and they, believe it or not, they called it electronics then. But I was fortunate because I was in the right place at the right time. I had some retail background, and they felt I talked their language. So I ended up going to trade shows in Philadelphia, in Chicago, in New York, and helping to raise what they call co-op money from manufacturers, and said, you know, we could use this on television and show you a 30-second commercial. Also what helped, Carol, is ABC had a very exclusive set of dining rooms on the top level of their penthouse building, and it was a little bit of showbiz to bring these top retail executives into the world of television.
Oh,
so it worked.
Very nice to be up there. When you were started at ABC, you met someone who's always been your role model, Barbara Walters. So how did she influence you, help you?
Well, Barbara called it the Alpha. She was the first person I ever heard. She called it the Alpha Boys Network, ABC. And she said to me, we met in the photographer studio at the network. We were both having our pictures taken for some publication. And she said, Phyllis, she says, I'm going to help you navigate the Alpha Boys Network. Because women were a rarity. Barbara had a lot of bumps in her path. She started as the weekend, they called it Today Show Girls. And when she rose through the ranks, nobody thought she had the gravitas to be a network anchor. But she certainly persevered and survived and rose to the top. So, yes, she always was a great role model for me. And we would meet for lunch periodically. She would let me vent a little and always was extremely personal and professional.
And everything was going beautifully. You were at the top of your game at ABC, and then one day Disney brought the company, and there you were at the age of 50, suddenly finding yourself fired. So why do you say that two of the most important lessons you have to learn when you lose a job is stop blaming others for what happened, and then don't wait too long before actively looking for a job?
Exactly. It's much less of a stigma today than it was then to be fired. I mean, I was at the top of my game, and a week later, I was in the same city, the same street, but 36 blocks south at the New York State Unemployment Office. And I found that I made some good decisions, but I made some poor ones. And today, I would advise people, because this is the world we live in, tell the world that you're out there. And your next job is getting your next job. It's a traumatic experience to feel all of a sudden you've lost your identity, everything you worked for, you had a great career going, but use it as a lesson to look inside yourself, say, this is what brought me to this point today, and from here on in my job is finding the next job. And again, telling the world about it.
Absolutely. And also, before I ask you how to use social media that we have today to get a job, I want to ask you why you also need to become a risk taker when you are out looking either for a job or for having your life going in a new direction.
Well, a new direction and an unforeseen direction. I'd say that nobody wants to fail, Carol. We all want to succeed. And we have to, we're not programmed to make drastic changes. We want our comfort zone. And I felt that I look back on my journey and the life-changing events and defining the path to success, and I'd say the two most important qualities are resilience and the ability to evolve. Because eventually, you may fail, but eventually you will succeed at something. But you never know if you're afraid to go for the brass ring and grasp it and just go forward and take that chance.
And as you say, it's conquering our fears.
That's right. Getting out of our comfort zone and saying, okay, this was a traumatic experience, but I'm going to turn it into a positive path. And that's how I believe you, and again, expanding your presence, telling people you know, We'll talk about social media.
Well,
too.
Let's talk about it right now, because it's a whole new world with
all
different things that we can go to online, Twitter, Facebook, you name it. How can they help us in finding a new job and going on with our life?
Well, I'm asked that question a great deal on the groups and the people who have interviewed me, and the reality is that employers look for you even if you don't know about them. That hiring is different today. Every unemployed person should devote a very large attention to sites like LinkedIn. It sounds so elementary to update and embellish your social media sites like Facebook, Pinterest, LinkedIn, Twitter. Employers search these sites. We do. Our companies used to run classified ads. And today, if we need a new position, our creative director goes to his network on LinkedIn and Facebook. And those sites, filling out your profile page, updating it, and having it very positive, reflecting who you are. It's easier today than it was years ago. But yet the world of finding a job is more difficult today because it's so non-traditional.
And we have to learn to go with the new ways and make them work for us.
No question about that.
Now, I got to tell you, you have so many wonderful chapters in your book, but I especially recommend the one about the entrepreneur because you cover so many topics, acquiring clients, dealing with different clients.
Yes.
And weathering an economic downturn. So how did you go about getting your first client, Gentleman Jim's? You had only 30 days that you gave yourself, that's the limit.
Yes.
And tell us about this very first client.
Well, I felt the important thing, I did not have ABC over my shoulder, but I knew how to sell. So I was working out of a condo, a little condominium in Fort Lauderdale, and I thought, we need that first client. We need credibility. And sure enough, it was a gentleman's club. We called it a strip club, but they called it a gentleman's club. And they needed help to get customers for their lunch hour buffet. So same entertainment, if you can imagine, as the evening hours. But they had a need. We were able to fill the need. We convinced a local television station to, it was tricky, it wasn't easy, but have a tasteful 30-second TV spot. And sure enough, they saw their lunch business certainly increase, become a little more robust. But the funny part of it is that I learned that each week I had to climb the back steps to get paid, and I got paid in cash. So that was the first and only client in my entire career that gave new meaning to the word cash flow.
But you know what I love about the story? It shows, and I think one of the very great reasons why you've been so successful, even after some tough times, and that's the fact that you're able to think outside the box, and that's very important for people to do.
Well, it is. And the other thing, and I particularly advise women on this, too, is not to have any gaps in your career path. It's not easy, Carol, for a woman to pursue a career, raise a family at the same time. And all too often, a woman has to take time and put her family first. But I say with computer technology, flex times, freelance opportunities, the important thing is staying involved and engaged on some level. Even if you're volunteering, take the word volunteer off of your resume. Nobody cares whether you're being paid or not. But try not to have any gaps in your career path. Certainly, do not be afraid to take chances and just move on each day. Each day presents a new opportunity. As you just said, you have to be creative and look for the opportunities and just uncover them and go for it.
That's Phyllis Green in conversation with Carol Marks. Her book is titled Fired at 50, A Survivor's Guide to Prosperity. It's published by Terramar Media. And for more information, you can go to the website firedat50.com. It's fired at and the numbers 50.com, firedat50.com. Coming up next, we have Steve Wiseman to discuss Medicare open enrollment. That's coming up when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues right here.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly. That's socialsecurity.gov/MedicareOnly.
Carol Marx is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marx offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation's struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marx is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
She's conquered some of the most challenging ski courses anywhere, but with only one leg, the odds were against her even walking.
The growth was stunted in my right leg when I was born, and the doctors told my mother we needed to amputate when I was 5 years old.
Bonnie was helped at a Shriners Hospital, one of a network of 22 hospitals helping kids throughout North America. Shriners Hospitals provide world-class orthopedic and burn medical care, and they offer that care totally free of charge.
The care and treatment the Shriners gave me was a gift. It wasn't just about learning to walk. They helped me to believe in myself.
There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area realize their dreams.
If I went back to the Shriners Hospital and talked to the nurses and doctors, I would say thank you. Thank you for making my dreams come true.
If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to GoDirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we're joined the rest of the way by Steve Wiseman. Steve Wiseman is a senior correspondent on our program. He's an attorney. He's an expert on so many of the topics we discuss, and he's a prolific author. He's written The Truth About Avoiding Scams and his new book, Identity Theft Alert, published by Prentice Hall. Steve is also the webmaster of a very informative website that is called Scamicide, scamicide.com. Check it out. Steve's here now to talk about Medicare open enrollment. Steve?
Thank you, Michael. The open enrollment period for Medicare began on October 15th and is going to go until December 7th. This is the only time during the year that people enrolled in Medicare can change their Medicare health plans, supplemental health plans, or Medigap plans, and their prescription drug plans. By now, people already enrolled in Medicare should have received an annual notice of change from their health insurance providers. These describe any changes to the plan, such as maybe the dropping of particular drugs from your prescription drug plan. If you're satisfied with your plan, good. You don't have to do anything. Scammers and identity thieves use this open enrollment period as senior citizen hunting season, and there are myriads of Medicare scams common during this time. Among the scams are phone calls or emails purporting to be from Medicare, informing you that Medicare is issuing new Medicare cards. And in order to continue receiving benefits, you need to obtain a new card, which can be done by merely providing the person contacting you with your Medicare number, which is your Social Security number. If you give them this number, you can end up becoming a victim of identity theft. Other times, you may be contacted by someone purporting to be from your insurance company asking to verify information. Again, this is a common tactic of identity thieves trying to trick you into providing information. You also may be contacted by people claiming to have supplemental insurance programs that will save you thousands of dollars. Here, too, you can't be sure they're legitimate when they contact you by phone, text message, email, or even regular mail. Medicare is not issuing new cards, and they're never going to contact you by phone and ask for your Medicare number. Never give your personal information to anyone who calls you on the phone, because you can never be sure who's actually on the other end of the line. There's a technique called spoofing, by which a scammer can fool your caller ID and make it appear that the call is from the government or some legitimate company, when in fact it's from an identity thief. If you want to get information you can trust about what insurance plans are available to you and at what cost, really the best place to go is the Plan Finder section of Medicare's website, which is www.medicare.gov. If you want to speak with someone on the phone, call Medicare at its 24-hour hotline, 1-800-MEDICARE. This is the best way to go.
Thank you, Steve Wiseman, and check out Scamicide.com for information to avoid scams and fraud, and, of course, the truth about avoiding scams in his new book titled Identity Theft Alert, published by Prentice Hall. Thank you, Steve Wiseman. Thank you, Kevin Casey. Thank you, Beverly Santinello, our producer on the front line. And thank you, of course, to the host and founder of the program, Carol Marks. Thank you, George Benson, for a wonderful interview. I'm Michael Harrison, on behalf of all of us, inviting you to join us next weekend right here for another installment of A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups.